This is Sean and Monica from The Prepared Homestead,
your homestead education and training resource in the American Redoubt.
Whether you're on a small suburban lot or a sprawling rural farm,
helping you become self-sufficient and your property abundant.
We're glad you're with us.
On today's program, I'm going to be interviewing Blake Akers, and he's going to be telling us all about AgriTrue. And you're going to learn lots of specifics about this certification program, but just in short, what it is an alternative to certifications like USDA organic certification. Okay, it's a private alternative to that. So we're going to learn more about that today as we sit down with Blake, and he's going to tell us about AgriTrue and some of the other things that he has going on. He's an interesting guy. He's an Air Force veteran. He's married. They have a son. They live in Alabama. He's been in the IT world for about the past 14 years, and he's got some interesting projects he's working on, AgriTrue being one of them. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get started. And for today, again, it's just going to be me. Monica's not with us, but let's go ahead and get started on this interview. Blake, thanks for being on the program today. We do appreciate you taking your time to talk to us about this very important subject. I know for Monica and I, well, we really like alternatives, which is what you are working on creating, to what have become co-opted type systems. So we're going to get more into that today, but first I want to start off today by having you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your family, and what brought you to this point in life.
Thanks, John, and thanks for having me on the show today. Well, I guess I got into the whole survival, I guess, preparedness thing shortly after the market crash back in 07, 08. I'm sure you've probably heard a lot of people say the same thing.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so I got into that, kind of went a little overboard at first, and then sort of backed up and realized, you know, if I can do this sort of thing but also build resiliency into my life in a way that makes sense from a financial standpoint, do that. Don't go crazy buying cases and cases of MREs, you know, just start small. So we started doing that, and then we realized really quick that, you know, if you have food stored up, that's one thing. If you have the ability to produce food, that's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we like to call beyond preparedness.
Exactly. And to do that, you've got to kind of nurture those skills. So we got into the homesteading thing with raising chickens, attempting to grow annual crops that yeah, quite frankly didn't work out because we're on hard-packed clay soil up here. So we've kind of adjusted and learned as we went. But for about the past, I don't know, 14 years, I've kind of worked in information technology, IT, one form or fashion. And about 2 years ago, I started doing web development, web design. And when I did that, one of my first customers came to me with this idea of AgriTrue, and they had tried to launch it before. It kind of fizzled out, and it just didn't work the way they had it set up. So we basically restarting from scratch with AgriTrue 2.0, and it kind of soft launched right before Thanksgiving. So we're really excited to see what we can do with it.
Okay, well, I tell you what. First of all, let's tell everybody where you guys live so people can get to know, well, where you're located.
Yeah, sorry. So I'm actually in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm married. My wife, Lindsay, we've been together for a little over 12 years. We've got an 11-year-old. His name is Noah.
Okay.
And, you know, he kind of helps out around here with that kind of stuff. He's a real big fan of the chickens, mostly because he likes to eat omelets, but you know how that is.
Okay, so you said you guys have layers. Do you guys have any other type of homestead enterprises, say meat runs, or you mentioned gardening, anything like that?
Okay, before we were going to move, we thought we were going to move down to the Gulf Coast, and that didn't work out. I had almost halfway completed what was going to be a quail tractor. We were going to do quail for meat and eggs. And like many projects around here, it kind of got put on the back burner. So I'm hoping to start that in the spring next year and get into meat production. But right now it's just laying chickens. That's all we've got.
Very cool. I tell you what, there is no comparison between getting your own eggs out of your own backyard from your chickens than even USDA-certified organic eggs that you get in the store. I mean, that's for sure. But today we're going to talk about AgriTrue. Let's shift over to that. And you said this is 2.0, so let's start there. Why don't you tell us what it is?
Well, really, it's a two-part thing. The first part is an online directory. It's very similar to Yelp. In fact, the software we used is marketed as a Yelp clone, so you've got all of those features there. It allows you to list your farm. Your farm will show up on a map, so people in your area know where you're at. You've got a description of, you know, what you grow, what you produce. It's really low-cost marketing. If you're just starting into farming or you don't have a big budget, you can get a listing starting out at $5 for every 6 months, so less than a dollar a month. Part two of AgriTrue is it's actually a Beyond Organic food certification. So what that means is that if you sign up with us, you have instant access to all this marketing material, and we're constantly trying to grow that out. Right now, it's basically product labeling. We're going to put together a nice certificate for you to kind of display at the farmer's market. It says, hey, look, I'm AgriTrue certified. So we're trying to get this AgriTrue certification off the ground so we can kind of continue to add value for farmers and just make it a better product. So it's two things right now. It's business directory, and it's also a Beyond Organic certification that sort of bypasses some of the problems with USDA organic for smaller producers that can't afford to take that step.
Yeah, I totally agree. We're going to get into some specifics here in just a minute. But you brought up a very important point, and that's some problems with the USDA organic certification. Because I know we're pretty fed up with it as well, simply because it's morphed into something that I don't think that was the original intention. But from your perspective, what are some of the problems with the organic certification?
Well, I think one of the biggest problems, and the most apparent problem to me, looking kind of from the outside as a consumer, is seeing that the system has kind of been co-opted by large farmers, you know, big commercial operations. And it started out with great intentions and simple regulation, and it's gotten to the point now where I think a lot of the rules are made by people in the industry, and the intent is to kind of keep competition out. So that's one big problem I see, and another one is the inconsistency of things and just really the illogical way that they, you know, sort of regulate farms. Things that just don't make sense. Why is this organic? Or, you know, why is this a problem to do this and call it organic? It's kind of topsy-turvy in a way. So I think there's a lot of problems with it. I think it started out with great intentions, and like any government program, in my opinion, things get out of hand really fast.
Yeah, that makes sense. We've definitely seen those problems, but it's important to point out that there are many organically certified farms that are doing great work. And then others, of course, are using that certification just so they can price their products higher. There's nothing sustainable about them.
Well, yes. It's funny you said that, because I got some feedback a while back from somebody who's in the industry, and before she got into farming, she talked to other farmers who were certified. And you're probably not going to believe this, but the feedback she got was, well, we didn't change anything. We were already doing this, but now we can charge higher prices. And that's the only reason some people get into USDA organic.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. In fact, we know a lot of small producers, many of which are not certified organic, but a few are. And they've told us basically the same thing, that they can charge more money, even though they're doing normal regenerative type practices. They kind of need that certification to keep them profitable. Otherwise, that in some cases that puts them in the category of competing with commercial ag, and that's hard to do because of scale. Well, you know, let me tell you real quick. about a story, because this will resonate with you. We know market gardeners and professional gardeners just by way of the fact that my wife and I are in the Master Gardeners and involved with Master Forest Stewards and things like that up here in North Idaho. Well, this young man, 16 years old, is a market gardener. This is really cool. And he sold eggs, and he did it at the farmer's market. And he would go there, and he would sell his eggs, and he had his little sign up there, and you know he was working on his frontage and marketing and all that. And he sold his eggs, and the sign said organically fed. And they were. He was paying big money for organic feed, certified organic feed. And the organic police came around and shut him down and said, you cannot say that. You cannot say organically fed. And this wasn't the government going around. This was other market gardeners who were certified and who were basically, like you mentioned before, suppressing competition. So I'm going to ask you this very important question, and I know it's important to you too. How do you keep AgriTrue from ending up like that?
Wow. that story's wild, but it drives home my point about it's almost become a cartel, USDA certification, to where, you know, we don't want competition, so we'll nitpick all the little, you know, minutia, all the rules and regulations, and
absolutely
kind of turn people off. That's really not good from a standpoint of, you know, that kid, young adult, he's the future entrepreneurs, and we need to nurture that instead of stifle it. So
absolutely.
That's really sad to hear that. But no, we have to be careful and say things like beyond organic, because we can't bill ourselves as an organic certification. You know, we can use words like regenerative agriculture, permaculture, but we have to kind of walk that tightrope. And as far as keeping AgriTrue from going down that path, I think the most important thing is to keep the right people in charge. So right now, AgriTrue is myself, and I'm working with Jack Spearco and other partners of PermaEthos.
Okay.
And I don't know if your audience is aware of PermaEthos or not, but it's a really well-run organization that primarily does education right now, centered around permaculture. So, you know, everybody's hearts are in the right place. We're trying to do the right thing. And, you know, when you've got something that's government ran, it's very easy. There's these things called lobbyists. It's very easy to sort of game the system. The difference with AgriTrue, because it's privately held, you know, myself and the PermaEthos partners, you know, we're not going to let somebody sort of buy the system, so to speak. So that's defense number one against turning into the next USDA organic.
I like that it's privately controlled. I really don't want any government intervention in it. And I know you don't want that either. I mean, it's ridiculous that I cannot make a deal with my neighbor to sell him a cut of pork. I have, you know, many different regulations to be able to do that. So what are some of the other layers of defense against it turning into something that I know you guys don't want it to be?
Another layer would be the community policing aspect of this. So, you know, we've got the rating system is very similar to Yelp, and it's set up to where if you go to a farm and, just for an example, you see a bucket of Roundup in the corner and that person's got AgriTrue on their label, you can get on your smartphone right there and put a negative review on them. And, you know, we're going to get feedback from the whole community at large around the U.S. that's concerned about clean food, healthy living, and good farming practices. So that kind of feedback will help keep us in check, I think, going down the road.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I like that it's kind of like a review system. If we use the example of a bed and breakfast, and think about that in the fact that people that frequent bed and breakfast put reviews up, they put comments up, and it helps people to determine whether or not they want to go there. And so it's kind of self police. You know, the good ones rise to the top and the bottom ones float to the bottom. So I guess what you're saying with Agrichu is that if they float below a certain level, they're gone.
Well, that's right. And it also keeps us accountable because we are working in the free market, and those reviews could also, you know, there could be off-site reviews to where there's people in the internet community at large. For instance, let's say, well, we're just going to allow glyphosate on farms. We're going to start doing all this stuff. You know, we're going to get pushback, and it's not going to be good for us. Now, with USDA, they've got the power of government behind them, so there's that whole Leviathan aspect to that that allows them to kind of sidestep the negative criticism and maintain that, you know, really, it's USDA organic is nothing more than a status symbol in a lot of ways, so they can maintain that in spite of bad practices, whereas I really don't think we can with Agritrue.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, let's talk about some of the particulars. I sell eggs. I process poultry and rabbits for customers. What do I have to do to get that Agritrue certification? What are the principles I need to hold to?
Well, the principle is really, it's in the name. It's truth in agriculture. You have to be truthful to your customers and, I guess, really truthful to future generations in the sense that you're going to take care of the land you manage. So we have a few requirements. You can actually view them on the terms page, and you're also required to accept them before you become an Agritrue certified business. One of the main things is soil management. We want you to have a plan in place. We're not gonna tell you what that plan is. There's not gonna be an Agritrue police that's gonna, you know, kick down doors or anything like that. But you have to have something in place to build soil every year, and that's important because, like you said, with organic, sometimes you get in situations where it's really just mining the soil. And I think a lot of times, if you look at the cheapest organic product, that's probably the case. For instance, carrots. Okay, you can get organic carrots for about $1 where I live, $1 a pound. And you look at how those are grown out in California, they're really just mining the soil. They're just going in and strip mining it. So we want producers to do something to build the soil every year, whether that's cycling animals through, paddock shift kind of thing, or just some kind of practice to improve the soil. We do not allow any kind of pesticides, chemical pesticides. Now, let me preface that with things like neem oil, things that are considered to be organic or, you know, safe, things that are certified organic. We're okay with that. Diatomaceous earth, perfect example. You know, it's a natural product, and I use it here at the house. You know, whether or not it's effective sometimes, I don't know. But
yeah.
It's a great product, and we're okay with that. But what we're not okay with is any kind of GMO crops or any kind of chemical pesticides, because, you know, we really feel that it's bad for the people that eat the food, and it's bad for the environment when that stuff runs into the rivers and ends up in the ocean killing off wildlife. We want to get away from that.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's our approach here. We're obviously not certified organic, nor are we trying to go down that road. But we don't use chemical fertilizers or pesticides or anything like that. We're trying to build soil health and fertility. We use organic matter. We add compost teas, and mulches, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's we're trying to minimize our inputs. And I know market gardeners would give me a hard time right now because we don't do soil testing, but we just add compost teas and run animals through our areas. That's just our approach. So you're saying that would definitely fall in line with Agritrue.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as soil analysis goes, you know, really at the end of the day, if you add carbon, what happens is you attract microbes and eventually you attract earthworms. And an acre of healthy earthworms can produce 700 pounds of compost, 700 pounds of worm castings every single day. So at the end of the day, you don't have to get technical, I don't think, unless you're running a big operation. You just got to get the carbon right, and everything kind of falls into line.
Absolutely, and I like to use Joel Salatin as an example and how he says he's a grass farmer. And I think we even need to go a step further and be soil farmers or cultivators of the soil, building soil health and fostering soil life to help everything grow. So besides building soil, not using chemical fertilizers or pesticides, what are some of the other guidelines you're looking at?
Okay, getting over to the animal production side of things, we want you to treat your animals humanely, and part of that, a very big part of that for us, is that the animals have access to nature. So with USDA Organic, you can get away with saying eggs are cage-free, you know, if you've got a big chicken house with, I don't know, 20, 30,000 birds in there, and a little 20 by 20 pad that they never go into because they've never seen sunlight, and yeah, it's kind of blinding to them, so they never go outside even though they have access to it, and if they did, it's just not enough room for the animals. So you have to have animals on pasture. They have to have access to grass and bugs and sunlight, you know, to get that vitamin D production up to make for healthy food. So that's a really big part of our program, is making sure animals are treated in a humane manner.
Well, good. That's really important to us as well. And as I mentioned before, we do have a couple of farmstead enterprises. Not our main business, but we sell eggs. And we tell people, hey, come out to the homestead, see how they're raised, see how, you know, see what we're trying to do out here, giving them access to pasture and planting browse and all of that. And a lot of people are willing to pay more because they understand the difference. And our other enterprise is poultry and rabbit processing. And one of our big selling points is that we do it humanely, and our customers like that. And so that's a good question. Could a small processor have an AgriTrue certification?
Of course. And that's something I really need to hit on more, is that it's not just limited to farms. So if you've got something like that, a service for the agricultural community that, you know, would be a benefit to the consumer, processing animals is one of those things. Like where I live, we don't have anybody within at least 100 miles of us that's certified to process chickens and that will do it on a smaller scale. So stuff like that. Also, if you've got a storefront, like a retail location where you sell organic food, you know, you're kind of a health food store, you can either A, take products that you have on your shelf that you know meet the criteria and that you'll verify and you'll stand behind and get that certification, or you can also approach your supply chain. You can approach the farms and the businesses that supply your store and say, hey, look, there's this new certification standard. It's really easy to get signed up. It's very low cost. It'd be a win for you and a win for us, you know. Would you be interested in joining? So that's kind of some things we could do outside of just the traditional, you know, farm scope of things to kind of grow the community and help the brand. And when we grow AgriTrue, it benefits everybody that's a part of AgriTrue.
Absolutely. I don't know if there are any current controversies surrounding AgriTrue, or maybe it was the 1.0. Are there any controversies right now, or what are your main objections that you have to deal with?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I had about a 30-minute conversation this morning with somebody that was kind of on board with what we're doing, supports it, but at the same time, I guess it's a difference of opinion, and that revolves around GMO feed. So here's the thing, and this is kind of an ongoing controversy, but when you listen to, I guess, our reasoning behind why we allow GMO feed, you'll kind of see why. So first of all, let's say somebody's doing the Joel Salatin method, start out with 20 or 30 broilers and eat some, give some away, and take orders for next year, okay?
Okay.
And they're doing that somewhere like where I live, where the guy at the feed and grain store, when you say GMO-free chicken feed, looks at you like you've sprouted an arm out of the top of your head because you just said something totally alien to him. He doesn't understand it.
Right.
Okay, so how does that guy get access to, you know, this marketing, this AgriTrue certification, when he can't even buy GMO-free feed in the market. So we decided early on, we've got to help the small producers out, the people getting started, and we've got to grow this thing to a point where we can kind of shut the valve off and say, okay, you've got X number of days until you have to convert over to GMO-free, and at that point, if you're not converted, you know, you're not a part of AgriTrue anymore once your membership expires. Because, you know, at the end of the day, there's not a big market for clean food in the U.S., not as big as I would like to see it. And to grow that, I think we have to hit, you know, the people that aren't willing to pay $5 for a dozen eggs. So we've got to grow the production side of it and get people out in farmers markets educating customers and saying, you know, look, these, they're not USDA's organic eggs, but here's the difference. My birds go out in the backyard every day. I let them out. They see the sunshine. They eat the bugs. They eat the grass. And all those antioxidants that are built up in that, you know, natural environment kind of counterbalance the GMOs that we feed them because we don't have access to GMO-free yet. And so because of that, you get a better egg, in my opinion, than you get from the store, even if it's cage-free organic. And that's just based on having chickens for years and not having access to GMO-free. And what I think will happen is when we grow this thing, let's say around Birmingham, Alabama, there's two people that want to buy GMO-free feed. But after we grow AgriTrue to a certain level, there's 20 people. We're sending signals all the way up the supply chain to the guy that's producing that feed that says, you know what, there's a demand for this stuff. You can charge a bit of a premium for it, and we'll buy it. So our goal is to start out in a way that doesn't penalize people that are getting into it and don't have access to GMO-free. But at the same time, we want to grow the market of people that are interested in that sort of thing, to the point where we can hopefully convert some of these small feed stores over to start stocking GMO-free feed for everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. Basically, what you're doing is allowing entry-level people to try this out, and you're removing the barriers to enter the market while still being able to present yourselves as something like AgriTrue, and legitimately so.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. I am a permaculturist myself. I took a PDC with Jeff Lawton online, which was awesome. And I do some consulting here and there, and we definitely follow permaculture principles. But, you know, I really get irritated when some of my fellow permaculturists try to be purists in everything. You know, it's everything has to be non-GMO, and you can never till, and et cetera, et cetera. But in a lot of cases, those are the guys that aren't actually getting anything done. But I say the same thing to people. It's like, look, wherever you are, if you can raise chickens yourself, if you can do anything yourself, I'm going to applaud you. I'm going to say, great job. And I don't care if you have bags of Purina, you know, feed. It's much better than going to the store and being dependent upon, you know, Wally World or whatever. You know, it's incremental progress. That's what we want to help people to do. So raising their own chickens, great. We're very fortunate up here. We have a pretty good source, local feed that is a non-GMO feed. And we buy our layer feed by the ton. It's reasonably priced, and it's probably half the price of organic feed. So it's a really good step. And of course, we raise our chickens in a permaculture system, so there's a lot of benefit there. But yeah, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and to me, being a perfectionist in permaculture is a bit of hypocrisy on some levels because, okay, these systems are there. If me, you, and everybody else that even knew what the name permaculture meant, if we all said, we're fed up with this, we're going to go live on an island somewhere, and we're never going to buy feed from you again, that wouldn't be, that wouldn't amount to a quarterly loss for Purina's, you know, chicken feed division.
Right.
And so you've got these systems there. I mean, it's set up, you know, use it in a way that's good, and it's kind of hypocritical to me, the same people that will tell you, you know, don't feed GMO-free even though it's all you can get, don't even bother to get chickens. You know, they're wanting to go out and rent an excavator, which runs on gas or diesel, and put a bunch of swales in. You know, that system with the petrochemicals is there. Why not use it for good? That's my thinking on all that.
Yeah, it makes sense. We're on board with that. So you allow GMO feed, but you're not suggesting that a corn farmer that's using BT corn is going to be able to get an AgriTrue certification.
No, if you have a drop of Roundup in a bucket somewhere on your property, or if you plant a single GMO seed, don't even bother to sign up, because if you do and we find out about it, we'll give you all your money back for your listing, but you're gone.
Okay, that makes sense to me. So I guess that covers GMOs pretty well. I'm guessing your two biggest objections are GMOs, one, and the second one being potential government interference or creating a cartel-like atmosphere. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, is kind of keeping the government's sticky fingers out of it. So as long as we can remain independent and operate in this free market system and, you know, do our certification the way we want it to, I think we'll be okay.
I like the fact that you have multiple protections in place, because, as you know, even some private organizations can do their best to stifle competition and kind of grow and get out of control, which, again, you have protections in place to hopefully prevent that. Now, you mentioned before that somebody could be a farmer, a processor, someone with a small enterprise, or even a seller of food. How can they find out more? How can they sign up?
Well, sign up is really simple. You go to agritrue.com, okay, and once you're there, you're going to see a homepage with a map. If you go over to pricing plan, that's going to take you to a page where you've got a few choices. Like I mentioned earlier, the cheapest option is less than $1 a month. That's a basic listing. It gets you some text on the website, and it's really just kind of for starting out. From there, we go up to 1, 2, and 3-year listings, bronze, silver, and gold. And you get a slight discount when you get up to the gold level and the silver level because you're signing up for 2 years. We'll give you a $5 or $10 discount, but you also get some really unique features. You get 1,200 character listing. You can put images, pictures of your product on the site. You can go in and change those every day for all I care. You can put in like a PDF document if you've got a price sheet. Let's say you do pastured hogs and you've got a 2017 price sheet ready to go. Just go on the site and upload it. And also something we're adding is, and this is kind of from an online marketing standpoint, so I have to switch hats for a minute and go back to the IT world and just say that when you sign up for one of the premium listings, you'll get a follow link to your site. So that's going to kind of help you out with your online marketing and your, you know, your search engine ranking and that sort of thing. Okay. And one other feature I'd like to talk about just for a minute is we've got a featured listing. I like to talk about that because it's kind of confusing as to what it does. It's a one-time fee. It's $40, $39.99, and that bumps your listing to the top. If you look at any research on online marketing, you'll find out that, you know, as humans, we're really short attention span. That's how the world is. So if you get up to the top of a listing, chances are better that you're going to get noticed by somebody on that page. So that's kind of what we're offering on the directory side of the house.
Okay, sounds good. So they can find more at agritrue.com.
That's right, agritrue.com.
Okay, so real quick, tell us a little bit about you and what projects you have going on, obviously besides this one.
Well, right now on the web development side of things, you can reach me at blake@blakedevelopment.net. That's my domain. It's going to be changing in 2017. I've filed for incorporation, and we're moving that around. One of my big projects I'm working on right now that's related to agriculture, though, is fertilizerforless.com. And that's really just a kind of a direct sales opportunity I stumbled upon and realized, yeah, this product's amazing. It's a natural fertilizer. We've got one line that's USDA, or I'm sorry, it's OMRI certified organic.
Okay.
And it's a great product because instead of putting fertility in the soil, we recommend a foliar feeding, which is just spraying liquid on plant leaves. And that's actually 20 times more efficient in some cases than putting fertilizer into the soil and waiting for it to kind of break down and start that process. So that's one of the latest sites I've developed. It's kind of a personal project I'm working on for myself right now.
Cool. So you're available to do web development work for companies or people?
Yeah, so really, I've kind of got everything related to web and software available. So not only can we design and build a site, we also do search engine marketing, and we also do, you know, sort of the design aspect of it and also hosting. So if you need somewhere to host your site, you want a little bit better service than one of the big providers, you know, we can do that for you and put you on an actual managed server and get you a little bit better speed and load times and all that.
Okay, so that's kind of your niche: web development, search engine optimization, search engine marketing, online marketing. Anything else you're doing?
No, I think that's it right now. Doing the web design, the IT work. That's kind of that's how I pay the bills. And then, you know, as far as hobbies and interests goes, I'm really into the whole regenerative ag, permaculture, you know, growing your own food thing. So that's kind of what brought me into putting together AgriTrue and also fertilizerforless.com.
Awesome. That's great. And one more time on your websites.
Okay, so that's blakedevelopment.net.
Okay, and then obviously agritrue.com.
Agritrue.com, that's right.
Okay, awesome. Blake, thanks again for spending some time with us. It was great. It was great to have you. It was good conversation, and we're looking forward to hearing more from AgriTrue.
Thanks, Sean. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today. Remember, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please leave us feedback on our website at thepreparedhomestead.org.
And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and YouTube, and we'll see you next time.